coat. Take off your coat. And I began to think about that. And when I got home last night, I went to bed early, about 10:30. And about 3:30, I woke up. And when I woke up, I laid in bed for an hour, staring at the ceiling. All kinds of ideas, and I told you this morning, visions of ministry that we can do in the church running through my head. Finally, about 4:45, I got up and I said, well, if I'm going to be awake, I'm going to do something. I went in and I began to look at this idea of take off your coat. And as I began to look at it, the more excited I got, next thing I knew, it was 6:30. And I was still up, so then I just cooked breakfast for Beth and stayed up. But I am excited about tonight's sermon. Not because of any other reason, but I really feel like God gave me this sermon for this night, for this season. And so I want you to open your Bibles with me. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 2. You're going to want to hold on to your Bible. We're going to move around a lot tonight, but we're going to use this as a jumping off spot. James chapter 5, verse 2 says this. Says, your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your power. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your victory and your strength in our life. And Lord, as I move forward and deliver the word that you have laid in my heart, Lord, I pray that you would allow me to speak it in a way that is understandable, speak in a way that grabs the attention of every hearer, whether they're here in this building, or whether they're watching through live stream or whether they watch the archive video. Lord, I want you to arrest their hearts and help them take their coat off. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I began to think about this idea of take your coat off, I began to think of the weather of the last couple of days. When last week we had a high on Sunday, I believe, of somewhere around 9 or 10, and yet today, I know when I left here, it was above, when I got here this morning, it was above 50. I don't know what we peaked out at. But Brother Tyrone rode his motorcycle to church this morning. And from in 7 days, from a high of 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever it was last week, to riding a motorcycle to church, many of us have been taking our coat off. We have been getting rid of those things that are designed to warm us. We have been getting rid of those things that are designed to protect us from the environment because God has given us warm weather. And I began to think about that, and I thought, God, where do you want me to go with this idea of take your coat off? And God began to show me some places in the Bible where he talks about taking off your coat or removing your garment. In every place that he talks about this, the word garment that is going to be in most of our scriptures tonight can be translated as coat or overcoat or jacket or covering. It's not quite as extreme as take off your clothes. I thought about preaching that one. I thought, no, take off your clothes might not be a good title. Yeah, this is not illustrated, but I got a few people about ready to get all excited. But I want to talk for a few minutes about what our coats mean to us and removing them. This verse that we opened with that I sort of use as our kicking off point from James. James is writing, and he's writing about our righteousness, our self-righteousness. And he says, your riches are corrupted. All the stuff you think you got ain't worth nothing. And your garments are moth-eaten. Have you ever put on a jacket and looked down at the sleeve and there's a hole in it? I have a suit jacket right now that I still wear quite a bit. Thankfully, it's black. It's hard to see. But when you look at the sleeve, there's some little bitty holes in the sleeve. And I don't know if I rubbed it against something or if moths got a hold of it. But it's not right. It's not the way it should be. It's imperfect. He speaks to us through James and says, listen, all the self-righteousness of your life, all the garments you've covered yourself in to try to say, look at me, look who I am, are moth-eaten. They're impure. They are not holy, but holy. They're not holy, they're holy. They have holes in them. They're not good for anything. They're rags. Paul talks about filthy, all my righteousness is as a filthy rags. And I begin to think about what James is writing. And how many times that we continue to wear coats that are outdated. We continue to wear garments that are not representative of our life and of our anointing and of our strength. And so I want to look at a few of those today. The first coat I want to tell you to take off today is take off the coat of identification. Take off the coat of identification. I've referenced there a story in Mark chapter 10. And sometime I want you to go read that. But it's the story of blind Bartimaeus. Last Sunday morning, I shared a little bit about blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the side of the road, and he heard the crowd coming by. And when he heard Jesus coming, and he heard who it was, he cried, Jesus, Son of David! And everybody said, shh. Settle down. Calm down. You're making a spectacle of yourself. Then again, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus came and stood in front of him and said, what do you want me to do? Bartimaeus said, I want my sight. And Jesus gave him his sight. But as Jesus came and called for him, I want you to see this verse. Verse number 50. Verse number 50 says this. Well, let me back up to 49. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Look at verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Before he ever got his healing, before he could see anything, before Jesus had actually spoken to him, the Bible says he arose and threw aside his garment. He threw aside his coat. He threw aside his jacket. I meant to tell Michael to bring his jacket tonight. No, I needed your jacket. No, your jacket, your letterman. Michael has a letterman's jacket. Michael has played every sport possible at high school. In middle school, he tried football. Michael was a phenomenal offensive lineman in football. He could run right through the defensive line and get into the defensive backfield. If you know anything about football, that's the backwards of what he needed to do. He was not the great football player I had always dreamed that one of my kids would be. He wrestled for a while. And all I know about his wrestling is he needs to stick to spiritual wrestling, not against flesh and blood. Because when he wrestles against flesh and blood, it's not that good. He was a cheerleader. The first male cheerleader in over 15 years in Chillicothe High School. Oh, he says 30 years. And he was pretty good at that until he decided to go roller skating and wrap his leg around a metal pole. And he's tried track, threw a shot put, if I remember correctly. And javelin, that's what it was. See, I've went out and watched a lot of this stuff. Yeah, but I tell you what he is. He's smart. He has a letter, an academic letter that he got for a high GPA, and he'll probably get another one this year, I'm sure. And he's saying no, but I know his first semester he had a 3.8. But he's smart. And so when he got a letter, he come home and he had won his letter, and I said, okay, listen, I always wanted a letterman's jacket. I never had one. I'm a lot like my son. I went out to play football and chickened out. I tried to play golf, and that wasn't any good. I didn't even try to run because fat boys don't run. But I got a letter in choir. Yes, believe it or not, I lettered in singing, okay? Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing about that? But I didn't get a letterman's jacket. So last year for Christmas of 2016, I bought him a letterman's jacket. And he wears it with pride. Red and black, got the C on it. He hides candy in the lining of it. He wears it, and everywhere he goes, when people look at him wearing his letterman jacket, they know where he goes to high school. The other day, me and Beth were in Kansas City. We were in Liberty, and I was in Sam's, and I'm walking down looking for something. I looked over, and there was a young lady standing with her mom and dad, and she was wearing a red and black Chillicothe Hornets letterman's jacket. I don't know who she was, but I thought, hey! She's from Chillicothe. I knew that because of the jacket that she was wearing. It identified her as a Hornet. Bartimaeus had a jacket. And his jacket was not just a coat. His jacket was like what we would see as a cane with a red tip. It was an identifying marker that he was blind. And when he wore that coat, everywhere he went, nobody had to ask him if he was blind. When they saw his coat, they could see that he was blind. They understood as soon as they saw his coat, he was identified as a blind man. But all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking down the road. And Bartimaeus calls out first. He says, "Let me get his attention." And when he gets the attention of the master, and Jesus said, "Go bring him to me," and they come and say, "Be of good cheer, he's called for you." He gets up and he understands that I will not need the identification of a blind man anymore. And he threw aside his garment and went to Jesus. That is why Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Because by the time he got to Jesus, he had already shed the identity of a blind man before he ever walked up to Jesus. I've come by here tonight to tell you to take off the coat of your identification. Some of you have identified yourself as hurt. You have identified yourself as damaged. You have identified yourself as not as good as everybody else. You need to lay aside your garment and stand before your Savior, because even before you get there, the faith you have is going to make you whole. You've been identified as sick. You've been identified as strange. You have been identified as odd. You might as well throw those garments off. Because the next garment you're going to have is going to be the garment of victory. The robe of defeat. You are going to be the king's child. Join heirs with Jesus. There we go. Back to that again. We're about to be called out to something else. You know why I never got a letterman's jacket? I never got a letterman's jacket because My dad was the state youth director in Arizona. And we knew that my dad would be moved the August between my junior and senior year. From the time I got in high school, I knew that my senior year would be in another school. That's how the appointments laid out. And I never got a letterman's jacket because I knew there would come a time that I no longer wanted to be identified in orange and yellow, which was our school colors. That's bright. Hard to be tough looking in an orange and yellow letterman's jacket, I'm just telling you. But then I knew there would be a time that I didn't want to be identified as a Corona del Sol Aztec because I'd be something else. And sure enough, we moved a little earlier and we thought we moved April of my junior year. And we moved to Shelby, Ohio. And at graduation, I was no longer a Corona del Sol Aztec. I was a Shelby High Whippet. It's a dog. I thought it was a Devo song, but anyway. But I went in and I knew that my identification wouldn't line up. So I never got a jacket. Michael's already told me. I wanna display my jacket because I ain't wearing it once I get to college. He goes, when I get to college, I don't want to wear a high school letterman's jacket. Because he'll no longer be a Chillicothe Hornet. He'll be a Lee Flame. And he doesn't want that identification of a child's school. He will now be in an adult school. You know what some of our problems is? We've held on to identifications from the past. Somebody told you you were stupid. And you held on to that identification. You wear that jacket everywhere you go. Somebody told you you wasn't good enough. And you've held on to that identification. You wear that jacket everywhere you go. Somebody told you you wasn't important, and you wear that jacket everywhere you go. I've come by here today to tell you to take off the coat of your identification and lay your garment to the side, because Jesus has called for you. And when he has called for you, he has called to give you peace. He has called to give you hope. He has called to answer your requests. But we have other coats that we wear. Sometimes when we preach sermons like this, we want to hear about blind Bartimaeus. We want to hear about other people who were healed and delivered. And that's important. Identifications changed. Think about that. Blind Bartimaeus went from being blind Bartimaeus to just being Bartimaeus, because he changed his identity. But sometimes the coat we have to take off is not a coat of despair. It's not a coat of identification. It's not a coat that shows our weakness. Sometimes it's a coat that shows our strength. When I look in the Word, I find a story in John chapter 13. And Jesus himself, let me get there. There I am. Jesus himself is having dinner with his disciples. This is the setting of the Last Supper. And the Bible says in John 13:4, says that Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. I'm not talking about a sinner. I'm not talking about somebody who was struggling. I'm talking about the Messiah himself. Had a garment. He wore a garment. You know what garment he wore? He wore the garment of a rabbi. He wore the garment of a teacher. His garment, his jacket, his coat afforded him status. It afforded him respect. It showed what he had accomplished in his life and what his role was, which his role was to be a teacher. And now as he sits with the very disciples, the very students that he was there to teach, Jesus himself took off his coat of status, took off his garment of his rabbinical power, and girded himself with a towel and began to wash the feet of disciples. He humbled himself. He brought himself from a level of respect which he deserved. And he says, I'm going to remove the coat of my power, of my status. I'm going to gird myself with the towel of a servant. And I'm going to wash the feet. Can I take a few minutes tonight and tell you, some of us need to take off the coat of our status. We have gotten so tied up in who we have become. I am Pastor Tommy. You add a dollar to that and you can get a dollar soda at McDonald's. Because that's all it's worth. I believe in titles. I introduce myself to people as Pastor Tommy. That's my identification. It's my and I'm gonna be honest. I believe that I deserve it. I've worked hard to do what I do. I believe in those things, but you will never hear me argue for the title because it's not about my status. I can never be a true pastor until I become a true servant. I can never be a true pastor going off a title or a garment, but rather I become a true pastor when I take off the robe and I put on the towel. When I quit worrying about what my status looks like and I start worrying about how do I help those who need my help. Some of us have gotten caught up in our status. I have been in the way for 50 years. Well, I always end that statement the same. Get out of the way so we can do something. And I got news for you. With the move of God that's happening right now, you better hang on because we're about to run over you. We get these ideas. I am the teacher. I am the council member. I am this. I am that. I am that. No! Lay aside the garment of your status and begin to serve the world. Our mission says to love God, live like Jesus, follow the Holy Spirit, and those three lead to the last one, which is serve the world. That serve there, in case you didn't know, that doesn't mean go out and worship the world. It means that we serve the world like waiters and waitresses. Some of you know my oldest son, Anthony. Anthony got a job as a waiter in a restaurant. If you know Anthony very well, I thought, how in the world is that going to work? He tells me one day such and such was going on. I said, well, son, the customer's always right. He goes, no, they're not. Sometimes they're just wrong. I said, no, I know technically they may be. He goes, that's what's wrong with our society. They're not right. If they're wrong, they're wrong, and somebody needs to tell them they're wrong. He's sort of a black and white kind of kid. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we become so arrogant in our status. And we become so bullheaded that we don't know how to help anybody. instead of trying to serve people, instead of trying to wait on them, instead of trying to show them the love and the patience and the example of Jesus, who could wrap a towel around himself and wash the feet of his disciples. No, we stand up and go, oh, no, 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 not me. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I love a good foot washing service. But man, they're the least. If you announce you're having a foot washing service, I promise you half church ain't coming. I don't know about that. I'll tell you something, when we humble ourselves, oh, feet gross me out. Well, you should have been Jesus. They walked in streets with open sandals, and the streets were full of the sewage of the city. When Jesus washed somebody's feet, it wasn't somebody who had taken a shower and put on a pair of socks and come with clean feet. He knelt down, apron around him, and took off the robe of his rabbinical authority and said, I will get down and wash the filth off of your feet. We can't take our coat off long enough. We can't take our coat off long enough to even hug somebody that doesn't know the Lord. We can't take our coat off long enough to even speak a kind word to somebody going through a trial, going through a struggle, going through a battle. I don't know what to say. I love you. I'm praying for you. I don't know what to say. Where in the world did we decide that we didn't have to say anything if we didn't know what to say? If we just go and say, I can't comprehend what you're going through, but I want you to know I'm with you. I'm praying for you. Honest enough to say, I don't know what to say. But I want you to know you're in my mind. Oh, but what if we get dirty? What if it contaminates us? Church, take off the coat of your status. Take off the coat of who you think you are. Because we go back to what James says. The garments that you have are already moth-eaten. Now you're living in coats that are eaten and spotted with the stains of pride and arrogance. And we need to take off the coats of our status. I'm telling you that we have a world that is dying and going to hell. In this city, drugs, alcoholism. In this city, people are fighting depression. We're live streaming this service right now. There are people who will pass this video on their Facebook stream that are contemplating suicide. That have no hope of God's power. And we think that putting a video on Facebook is going to take care of it. We got to take the coat of our status off. And we've got to reach out. We got to make time. We got to start serving rather than being served. I am sick and tired of seeing pastors and leaders and church members walking around with our noses in the air that we're some kind of spiritual high authority on every matter, and we can't reach out with love and peace and compassion to those who are hurting, but there by the grace of God go I. I don't know why God chose to give me the life he gave me, but I cannot afford to put on a coat of status and not reach out to those who are suffering in the same ways that I could have been. We have got to move off of our high horse. We got to get on our knees. Get on our knees before Christ. Get on our knees in prayer. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't get on our knees before the world and say, what can we do to serve you? We will never change anybody. We've been in this church for 84 years. Wow. 2014, we celebrated 80 years as a church. It's hard to believe that was 4 years ago. We've been a church for 84 years. We've been in this building that was built to carry the growth of our church 14 years ago. And you know what? We're still right about, or maybe a little less than what we were when we started in this building. You know why? Because somewhere down the road, we just... Somewhere down the road, we decided that our seat was more important than growth. Somewhere down the road, we decided our parking spot was more important than growth. Somewhere down the road, we decided that knowing everybody in the church was more important than reaching everybody in the city. I'm going to tell you, I really don't care if I know the first name of everybody. I don't care if I know everybody's dog's name. If I can grab a hold of somebody out there who is dying and going to a burning hell, I've got a place for them in this church. We got to take the coat of status off. If Jesus, who is our example, live like Jesus. If Jesus, who is our example, can remove the coat of his status and take on the form of a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be like God. But yet, put aside his power. Throne and came and lived and took on the form of a man. And he lived as a man, and then he presented himself to death, even the death of the cross. So God gave him the name Jesus, the name which is above all names, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that he is the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about when we begin to understand that our position is not a position to be honored. Our position is a position to serve. Our position is a position to reach out, to love. We're too busy judging one another to serve one another. Well, if they were doing right, I could serve them. I'm going to tell you something. I serve a lot of people I ain't doing right. And I'm honest with them. You can talk to some people. I'll tell them when they ain't doing right. Still love them. Still serve them. I still pray for them. I still work with them. Why? Because my status isn't important. Their heart. Their life. Their existence. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. I'm not talking about watering down our faith. I'm not talking about losing sight of our commitments. I'm talking about showing love while we direct them to grow. Jesus didn't just get his hands dirty. He cleaned their feet. He cleaned the feet that carried them. He cleaned the feet that was going to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Oh, the prophet said, how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. You know why the apostles had beautiful feet? Because Jesus had washed them. He cleaned their feet. I want to clean the feet. I want to clean the steps. I want to guard their steps. I want to take off my coat of status. Some of us have coats of identification we need to get rid of. Some of us have coats of status that we need to get rid of. And some of us just need to unwrap the coat of death. Some of us need to unwrap the coat of our death. John chapter 11. One of my favorite stories. Tells the story of Lazarus. I do believe I could preach on Lazarus every service for a year. It's got that much stuff in it. They come and they tell Jesus, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus says, all right, let's keep doing what we're doing. A few days later, we need to go check on Lazarus. He sleeps. The disciple goes, oh! If he's resting, he must be doing better. And Jesus said, oh, no, no, you don't understand what sleep I'm talking about. He's dead. Lazarus, he's dead. He's no longer living. He's done kicked the bucket. He's gone. Jesus comes into Bethany. Lazarus' sister runs out and says, oh, if you had been here, my brother would be alive. And Jesus says, your brother's going to live. Oh, I know he'll live in the rapture. I know he'll live in that day of awakening. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I ain't worried about this. I got this. He goes to his other sister, and she says the same thing. If you'd only been here, don't worry about it. Where have you taken him? They take him to the graveyard. The Bible says, verse 35, Jesus wept. Now I'm going to tell you one of the greatest sermons you'll ever hear in your whole life, one of the greatest sermons that'll ever penetrate your heart, is that little two-word verse. Jesus wept. I've looked at that verse inside out, upside down, sideways, and backwards. Wept Jesus. That's the backwards version. And Jesus already knew what he was about to do. Why did he weep over the death of somebody he knew he was about to bring back to life? Why did he weep over something he knew he was about to bring glory to the Father through? Because he was never weeping for Lazarus. He was weeping for his sisters. He was weeping for his disciples. He's weeping for the church. Because somewhere down the line, we have decided that dead is dead and nothing can stop dead. Pastor, we had a great church. But now it's dead. It ain't dead as long as Jesus is around. Dead's not dead when Jesus comes around. See, somewhere down the road, we decided that dead was dead. I've been there. I've pastored churches. I thought, oh, I don't know if there's any hope. I've pastored churches that were on life support. I've led ministries that I had to figure out, did they need a shot in the arm or a shot in the head? Somewhere down the road, we believe that dead is dead. Jesus wept because he understood that everybody around him saw no hope in the graveyard. But I got news for you. When you start getting excited, you begin to realize that the greatest hope in the world is found in a graveyard. Because all of a sudden, when you get in the graveyard, you get out of what you can do, you get out of what you can expect, and you can begin to trust the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can begin to trust the power of heaven, because in God's hand, death is not dead. That's not my sermon. That's Jesus wept sermon. I'm not preaching that one tonight. Jesus wept. You get another picture of why he wept, because then he says, roll away the stone. One of his own disciples. I wish his name was Chris. Instead, his name is Thomas. I don't like that he's named close to mine. No, we're picking on you tonight. One of his own disciples, Thomas, says, nay! He got the spirit of the horse on him. Nay! By now he stinketh. How many times do we say that about one another in the church? Go pray for them. Oh, no, God. They stink. Oh, no, God. Their spirit is dead. Their spirit has been dead. I've been there in the world when God told me to witness somebody, and I said, oh, no, God. They stink. Thank God in heaven above that I wasn't the only one he asked, because somebody got to that guy and witnessed that guy, and he gave his heart to the Lord and changed his life. But too many times we sit around and we clothe people with the coat of death. When Lazarus died, this is an amazing thing. I don't know if you know this. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. When people die, they don't dress themselves for their funerals. One of these days, if the Lord tarries and I die, you will know whether or not I dress myself. Because if I've got a tie on, I didn't dress myself. My wife knows better than put a tie on me. But I know my mom is a little hard-nosed and stubborn. Love you, Mom. I ain't wearing no tie in the casket. I actually want a Harley shirt, but that's, you know. But dead people don't dress themselves. When Lazarus died, he didn't dress himself. Somebody else did. Somebody else put his coat on. They wrapped him in burial cloth. They bound him hand and feet. They covered him. How many people have we wrapped up in burial cloth? How many people have we said, you're dead? Ain't no hope for you. Wrap him up and set him out, because now he's going to start to stink. They would wrap them all the way around. Then they would pour oils over them to try to mask the smell. You know what's wrong with a lot of American churches? We got a lot of people wrapped in burial cloth. You know why people don't worship in church? Because somebody's wrapped them up in burial cloth. They're wearing their death clothes. They didn't put them on. Don't come in here and tell me that you wrapped yourself up in your burial clothes. No, you did not. Somebody else put those clothes on you. Somebody else said you were dead. Somebody else said that about you. Oh, but God has come by and he's got a word of life for you. Jesus says, roll the stone away. Thomas said, oh no, he stinks. And then Jesus says, Lazarus! Every time I read this verse, I say it like a Carmen song. Lazarus, come forth! Because that's the way Carmen did it in his song. If you haven't heard that song, it's an old song, you need to look it up. It's great. But he called his name. I love Carmen's telling of that story in the song. He talks about Lazarus getting to heaven and going to a prayer meeting. And it was testimony time. And he begins to hear Moses testify. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Samson and David. One place in the song, he says, Holy Ghost hit King David. He just started dancing. He didn't even testify. He just danced. He begins to go through the prophets. And they were talking about how they had known the power of God. And all of a sudden, Lazarus jumps up. Says, I knew him, but I knew him like y'all never did. He begins to talk about the things he had seen Jesus do, how he had supported his ministry. He said, I heard him call my name. And the song says, back at the gravestone rolled away with a loud voice, Jesus started to say, Lazarus. But a lot of Carmen fans in this church. But he says, it's like I can hear him right now. And all of a sudden, Lazarus gets up out of the grave. But you get this, Lazarus did not strut out of the grave. Lazarus. Lazarus looked like Corey on a bad day. There's my pick on Corey. Had the Corey hop going. You know why? Because somebody had wrapped him up as dead. Somebody had labeled him. But Jesus, in verse number 44, says this, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. He had on the clothing of death. He had on the clothing that no one could ever change. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Because the clothes that somebody else put on him, I'm about to take off of him. You may have death wrapped around you, but I've come by here to tell you, roll on out of your tomb, because God's about to loose you and let you go. You know our problem? We wait for the people that put our grave clothes on to take our grave clothes off. I don't know who it was that went and set Lazarus free, but I got a feeling it was a disciple. I have a feeling it wasn't the mortician who wrapped him up. Because I know that if I was the mortician that wrapped him up, I ain't touching him again. Sometimes we come out and we think that the person who hurt us, the person who spoke death into us, is the person who has to give us life. Jesus has already given us life. All we've got to do is come out and let his power and his spirit loose us and set us free. We need to be the ones in other people's life when the death comes roaring out of this altar and they come hopping up out of that altar, we need to be unwrapping them from their death clothes. They are no longer identified as a member of the afterworld. They're no longer identified by the death in their life, but now they are identified by the life in their life. If they had not unwrapped him, he would have been destined to stay in the tomb. In the next 12 months, we're going to have a lot of people hopping in the back door. We're going to be afraid of their smell. We're going to be afraid of their disease. We're going to be afraid of their sin. And once they hop into this house, we've been called to loose them and let them go. I'm not creating another tomb. I'm creating a celebration house. God didn't call us to be grave diggers. He didn't call us to watch over dead bodies. He called us to rise up an army. From that day on, everywhere Lazarus went, people could talk about how bad their life was. Can you imagine being in a room with Lazarus? Man, I'm having a bad day. My knees are hurting bad. Got a headache. And Lazarus goes, yeah, I remember one day I died. But I got better. I don't know if I'll ever feel better. I remember one day I died. But I got better. He probably had no compassion for anybody with a headache. I want to tell you something. When we walk out of death into life, all of a sudden our life becomes a billboard for Christ. Yeah. Everywhere we go, oh, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but he gave me life. He gave me peace. Another song that we used to sing, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. I have been called to unwrap the coat of my death. I have been called to reach out and unwrap the death clothes of somebody else. Yeah. Church, I believe we are in a place where we have got to understand it's time to take our coat off. Let me change that back to coat. It's time to take our coat off. We've identified with our past long enough. We've been proud of who we are for way too long. We've been limited by the wraps somebody else put on us for way too many years. It's time to take the coat off and walk in victory and walk in peace. Because when we take the coat off, God's got another coat to put on us. I didn't add this to the sermon, but I'm going to share it anyway. Because you see, Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son had a coat of status. Give me everything that's mine. I want to have it. He took his inheritance and he went off identified by his money. But when the money ran out and the famine came, he found himself wrapped in clothes of death, eating the food that the pigs would eat, that he was hired to feed. And he said, the Bible says, when he come to himself. When you come to yourself, you're going to take your coat off. When he come to himself, he said, if I go back home, there are servants in my father's house that have plenty to eat. I'm not worthy to be a son, but I can go be a servant. I want you to hear this. Some of us, in America especially, we believe it's our right to be a servant. Sometimes when we're willing to come back as a servant, then God can make us a son. If we're not willing to be the servant, he can't do anything with us. He was willing to be a servant. When he came back, the father was watching. The father ran to meet him. And he said, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but can I be a servant in your house? And the father cried out, my son is alive. Bring out the shoes and put them on his feet. See, dead men don't wear shoes. But he's no longer dead. Bring out the ring. Put it on his finger. Because the ring was the credit card. With the seal of the ring, he could buy and sell on his father's account. Bring out the finest robe and put it on his back. Because the robe identified him as the Son. If we'll take off our coat, God will give us his coat. Somebody that needs to sink in. If we'll take off our coat, God will give us his coat. If we'll take off our coat of identification, he'll give us his coat of identification. If we'll take off our coat of status, he'll give us his coat of status. If we'll take off our grave clothes, he'll give us his grave clothes. Huh? What are you talking about? His grave clothes were folded neatly and left behind. Nobody unwrapped him. He unwrapped himself. When he walked out of the grave, nobody called his name. He called his own name. Because he is the resurrection and the life. If we'll give him our grave clothes, which destines us to death and punishment, and we take on his grave clothes, which gives us access to everlasting life and eternal worship. But you can't wear two coats. Can't wear two coats. We got to take our coat off. Quit being identified by your weakness. Quit being proud of your status. Quit being marked by your death. And be identified and honored and glorified by his coat. By his coat. How do we do this, Pastor? I feel like a broken record. But there's only one thing that I can tell you to do. Pray. The last few weeks we've been having some phenomenal services. You know why? People are praying. People are praying. We're seeking God. We're hungry. We're fasting. We're diving in. By the time we get here, I could get up here and preach Mary Had a Little Lamb and we'd shout. Because Mary's little lamb was pure as white as snow. Come on. Told you I could preach Mary Had a Little Lamb and we'd all shout. I said, Virgin Mary gave birth to the precious Lamb of God that paid the price for my sin. I'm not going to preach Mary Had a Little Lamb tonight. When we're praying, I preach better. I'm going to tell you, when I pray, I preach better. When you pray, I preach better. You know why? Because you're listening for it. You're hungry. We've had some great moves in this altar. Last Sunday morning was phenomenal. Last Sunday night was incredible. This morning we had a move of God. Here's my fear. Going to get addicted to an altar in the front of a church. And we're never going to make an altar at home. If you want to take your coat off, You want to take your garment off? You don't do that out here. You do that at home. See, if I'd have titled this the other way, take your clothes off. You don't take your clothes off here. Take your clothes off at home. That's where you find your victory. That's where you find your strength. I want you to hear me. Would you hear me? I know I've said this over and over and over again for the last couple months. But the only answer you have is to pray. I've sat with multiple people this week and talked about ministry. And in every one of them, I've told them the same thing. You got to pray. Without prayer, you can't get there. You got to get in the Word. You got to make some commitments. You got to dwell in that secret place. That's where you take your coat off. In my house, I have a closet. And my closet is full of clothes. And over the last 3 months, I've lost about 8 to 10 pounds. Amen. Hasn't helped everything, but at least I'm losing weight. And when I put clothes on in the morning, sometimes I put on clothes and go, that doesn't fit. I don't know if you've noticed, and Pastor Jim Martin, if you're watching, you need to listen to this. I've been tucking my shirt in the last few weeks. You know why? Because my shirts, when I don't tuck them, feel like they're... Because I've lost weight. And they feel like they're swallowing me. And when I do tuck them in, I don't feel like I'm going... I feel like I'm... You know why? Because my life has changed. When you take your coat off at home, it's easier to find the coat that fits better. I got my fat clothes. But now I'm getting to find some of my skinny clothes. Why? Because I found that they fit better. If I'd never took my coat off, I would never know that another coat fits better. If you don't take your coat off, you can't get what he's got. You can't take your coat off until you get in his presence. Pastor, we're all church people. Well, that means nothing. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I want, and because you're not raising your hand, I want you to be honest. Honestly answer this question to yourself and only to yourself. In the last week, I prayed 7 hours. In the last week, I prayed 5 hours. I prayed 3.5 hours. That's 30 minutes a day. The last week, I prayed an hour. The last week, I prayed half an hour for the whole week. And the last week, I prayed 15 minutes. And the last week, I prayed over food. I'm going to tell you, some of you prayed over food. Some of you prayed half an hour. Some of you are still trying to figure out how much you prayed because you don't remember ever actually sitting down to pray. And you want to know how to take your coat off? Pray. 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 That's where you take your coat off. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to see you continue the work that you've started in this church. But I'm not naive enough nor arrogant enough to ask you to continue that work if we will not change our clothes. Lord, I want you to put a hunger in the heart and life of every person in this church. To pray. Lord, if they haven't been praying at all, Lord, show them how to do 15 minutes a day. Not forever, for a week or two, so that you can move them to 30 minutes a day, and an hour a day, 2 hours a day. Lord, we find time for other stuff. We find time to be identified with other things. Let us be identified with prayer. Guide us in your steps so that our identity is not in ourselves, but it's in you. Our status is not found by what we've done. Our status is found in what you've done. Lord, that we're not hopping around in grave clothes. But Lord, you set us free. And Lord, you use us to help others get out of their grave clothes. Help us take our coat off so we can put your coat on. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Pray, 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 pray. I'd like to see as many of you as possible at prayer tomorrow night. I would love Sister Ann to tell me we had 40 people at prayer. I'm going to tell you, we got 40 people at prayer. That'd be an hour more prayer or 30 minutes more prayer than some of you.